So tonight, we're starting a four-week series on Jonah. How many of y'all know something at all about Jonah? Anything at all, literally anything about Jonah? Or at least you think you might kind of know something about Jonah. Okay, cool, great, grand, wonderful. So we're going to do Jonah really fast tonight and then more of a deep dive over the next 4 weeks. So this whole series is going to be called Consumed. And it, like I said, it's studying the book of Jonah. And there's going to be kind of this like 3 weeks where we look at two different passages that mirror each other. And then the last week kind of stands on its own. But here's a really quick overview of Jonah. God calls Jonah to go to Nineveh. God pursues Jonah, who has ran away. God wrecks Jonah's plan, but in doing so, rescues Jonah from himself. Then God restores Jonah, calls him again to go to Nineveh. God softens the hearts of the Ninevites through Jonah's message. God spares the Ninevites after they repent from their wickedness. And God uses a shade tree to open Jonah's eyes. And so God calls, Jonah runs. God saves, Jonah prays. God calls, Jonah goes. God saves, Jonah prays. Lots of kind of back and forth here. It's going to all make sense. This is a children's story unpacked for you as teenagers, okay? But I'm going to be really honest with you. This is kind of unpacked for you as like miniature adults. I'm not quite adulting you, but I'm also not treating you like little kids here. We're going to get into some deep stuff. We're going to get into some hard stuff. So just letting you know, Jonah is a tough book to study. And so that being said, quick overview. Tonight, I want to look at the fact that God pursues Jonah. And so our whole focus tonight is just, it's called the pursuit, and it's that God pursues people. And so point number one, God calls his people. God calls his people. And so you look at that and go, okay, who cares? Well, I do. So here we go. Jonah chapter 1, verses 1 and 2. Now the word of the Lord came to Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, arise, go to Nineveh, that great city. Great does not mean good. Great means big. And call out against it, for their evil has come up before me. So two things. One, the God of the universe is speaking to Jonah, literally calling Jonah. But two, God also notices the other people, like their wickedness has been brought to his attention. And so right out of the gate, we see immediate truths that should floor us, change us. We have a God. There is a God that exists, the God of the universe, who cares enough to create us, but also cares enough to call us, and a God who cares enough to include us in what he's doing. He doesn't have to. He doesn't need to. Like, is there anything at all that God needs you to do? No, because everything you do is just because God allows you to do it. You don't do anything in your own strength. You do it out of the strength and the power and the ability that God gave you in the first place. God does not need you. So let me kind of take the whole Barney idea and burn it. You're not special. You're not just God's most special creation. He just made you and he just needs you. No, he doesn't, but he wants you. God needs nothing. He's God. He doesn't need you. He doesn't need me. He doesn't need us. He doesn't need your brain and how creative and how smart you are. He doesn't need the songs that you can write. He doesn't need the prayers you can pray. He doesn't need you to go be his hands and feet. He doesn't need you, but he wants you and he loves you and he chooses to call you and include you in what he's doing. That's special. You're not. But how God cares about you and how God treats you, that's special. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10. It's a verse we read a lot. We are his workmanship. He made us, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Guys, looking at this verse. His workmanship were created by him. For good works were called by him, which God prepared beforehand were included by him. The God of the universe does not need you, but he wants you. Just let that sit for a second. I'm not going to ask you to raise hands, but I just know for a fact, because I'm a human like you are, there are people in this room that don't feel wanted. Whether it's by friends or by family or by whatever, like there's people in here that like we feel unwanted sometimes, or all the time. There's people who feel like, you know, we're just never good enough for whatever. We never get picked. We never get, nothing's ever good enough, never satisfied. Like, we can have those little demons living in our head. There's a lot of people here that just feel like, I'm never enough. I'm never good enough. I'm not enough. I'm going to tell you, like, in order to save yourself, yeah, you're right. You're not enough. But for God, the creator God, the one who designed all things, the one that we rebelled against, He loves you and values you and wants you. And you may feel all types of way from other people, but the God of the universe says, I want you. And I care enough about you to create you specifically and purposefully. You're not mass produced. This isn't copy and paste. It's intentional. God designed you, not just your skin and your hair and your personality, but also your calling and your equipping. God designed you to be what He wants you to be according to His will and His purposes for His glory. And guess what? The closer we are to His glory, the more it's for our good. That's what we've been talking about for months. That's what we see here. Jonah was created by God. He was called by God. And there was a purpose that God had for his life. And God calls His people. But point number two is that God is faithful to restore His people. Because how many of y'all are perfect? Cool, none of us. So if we're not perfect, that means we're going to have to get picked back up sometimes. Well, guess what? God's faithful to restore. In Jonah chapter 1, verse 3. Verse 1 and 2, Jonah got called. Verse 3, but Jonah rose to flee to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. He went down to Joppa, found a ship going to Tarshish, so he paid the fare and went down into it to go with them to Tarshish. Man, what a great word for somebody who can't say his words all the way well sometimes. Away from the presence of the Lord. Now, a little like just nugget for you. This is happening in the Middle East, and Tarshish is basically Spain, which doesn't seem like it's that big of a deal, except that in Jonah's world and map, that's the ends of the earth. Like, Jonah is trying to go to the end of the earth. To get away from who? To get away from who? To get away from who? God. Now, let's think back. When God called Moses, what did Moses do? Before Moses went, what did he do? Well, okay, that was before he got called, though. Once he got called, in the moment, as he's being called, what does Moses continuously throw at God? Excuses, I can't, excuses, I can't. Does Jonah make excuses and say, I can't? Does he argue? Does he negotiate? No, he says, nope, and leaves. Like, he's just, I'm out. I'm not going to respond to you. I'm not answering you. I'm not talking to you. I'm not negotiating. There's no excuses. He just says, that's what you want me to do? See ya. And goes to the end of the world to get away from God. This is not just like, oh, I'm not going to pray. No, he's literally trying to get as far from God as possible. I don't like what you've called me to do. Therefore, I'm going to go the opposite way. I'm just going to get away from you. Now, I feel like this is a good time to stop and just quickly explain why Jonah feels all types of ways like this. Jonah hates the Ninevites. The Ninevites are a people group. They are an enemy to his people. There's bad blood. There is tension. They have been bad. They are bad. They are wicked. Like God even says, like, there's evil before me. Like, that's what they've done, right? Jonah does not want to go to the Ninevites because Jonah knows that God is a God of mercy and grace. And Jonah, in his smart guy brain, he seems dumb. Like, you can't outrun God, but he's actually really smart because this is what he knows. You're going to save them, aren't you? I don't want to go to Nineveh. I like where I am. I like my people. I don't like there. I don't like those people. I don't want to go there. I don't want to be there. I don't want them to be saved. That's where Jonah's at. Those are the enemy. I don't want them to be saved. I don't want them to experience your grace and mercy. They deserve to be destroyed. They've done evil, wicked things, and they deserve evil, wicked things. So Jonah is like all kinds of passionate about this. This is not lazy. This is like, I don't want to go. And so I would rather go the rest of my life without you, God, than go there with you. That's where Jonah's at. I would rather just disobey you and run from you. And you look at this and go, man, Jonah's an idiot. But before we throw stones at him, I want to ask, like, have you ever disobeyed God? You ever disobeyed? You ever ignored the call of God in your life where God's telling you to do something or quit something or change something or talk to someone or go somewhere, and you've said, not right now, or I don't want to do that, or I'm scared, or just ignored him? You ever done that? Because I have. If you ever disobeyed God, ran from God's call, fled to something comfortable, refused to leave something comfortable, looked for something to drown out the sound of God's voice. So the problem is, like, we look at this and go, well, I haven't tried to run away. We haven't ran to the literal ends of the world, but we'll do all kinds of things to block out God's voice. We'll make every excuse. But God pursued and God restored Jonah. Over the next few weeks, we're going to take a deep, deep, deep look at this. But I want to be really clear tonight that God doesn't look at Jonah and say, well, I tried. And God doesn't destroy Jonah. God pursues Jonah. And this is a lot like Peter. It's kind of a New Testament parallel for us. Peter gets called. Ooh, that was bad. That was worse than if I'd have just coughed. Peter is called by God, or by Jesus. He's God. Peter is called. Peter follows. Peter swears him down, like, I'll die for you. And then when Jesus gets arrested, what does Peter do 3 times? He denies Jesus. Peter ran when it got hard. And when Jesus comes back, what does Jesus do to Peter? He restores him. He goes and finds him. Jesus goes and finds Peter. And Jesus goes and talks to Peter. And Jesus goes and asks questions. And Jesus goes and restores Peter. So point one, God calls us, all of us collectively and us individually. Point two, God is faithful to restore. But point three, God persists in his purpose. God does not stop. He doesn't change his mind. He doesn't back down. He doesn't go, oh, you don't want to go? Okay, let me figure out a new plan. That's not how this works. It's not how this works. God is not in the business of negotiating. God honestly doesn't care about your opinion. He is the unchanging one. Here's the thing. God doesn't need to listen to your plan because compared to his plan, your plan sucks. Now, in your moment and in your head, your plan makes all the sense in the world. And your plan and your way is better in your mind. Because you're looking at now and how you feel and what's around you and where you're safe and where you're comfortable and where things are. And that's where you are. And it's all you can see. But what God sees is so much bigger. And when God says, you're going to go here, you're going to go do this, you're going to talk to these people, you're going to give this up. And we go, but God doesn't go, oh, I hadn't thought of that. You're right. No, God says, I know your excuses. I know your fears. I know your hesitations. Go anyway. You got to trust me. I'm God and you're not. Like that's what God persists in his purpose. So we see this in John 3, verses 1 through 3. So Jonah 1, 1 through 3, Jonah gets called and runs away. Jonah 3, 1 through 3, here we go. Then the word of the Lord came to Jonah the second time, saying, arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and call out against it the message that I tell you. So Jonah arose and went to Nineveh according to the word of the Lord. Now Nineveh was an exceedingly great city, 3 days' journey in breadth. Again, great, not good, great, big. It's a lot of people. And in a couple weeks, that fact is going to really matter. But again, God calls Jonah to go to Nineveh. Here's things that have happened. One, hold up one finger. Hold up one finger. Jonah has changed. Hold up a second finger. God has not. Hold up a third finger. Jonah's willingness has changed. So God doesn't change. We change. Our response and willingness changes. God does not change. Jonah's willingness has changed. Jonah's a little bit older, not much, but a little bit older. He's got some PTSD now from getting swallowed by a big fish or sea creature will do that to you. But God's plan has not changed. But I also want to point out, God didn't force Jonah's obedience. God doesn't hijack Jonah's brain. Could he? Yes. Does he? No. He doesn't say, if Jonah doesn't go, my plan's going to fail, and just hijack Jonah's brain. God doesn't do that. God doesn't force us, but God does confront us over and over and over and over. And you can say it's because he's stubborn, but in reality, it's because he loves you too much to give up on you. Y'all ever tried to convince somebody to do something, or tried to convince your parents for something, or tried to convince a friend for something, and you've just tried and tried and tried and tried and tried, and they never move, they never change, they never give in, they never adjust, they never adapt. You ever had that happen? Eventually, what do? You give up. You know what God doesn't do? He doesn't give up. How sweet is that? That the God of the universe who created us and then we rebelled against him should destroy us, but instead chooses to restore us. And when we turn down being restored, he doesn't give up on us. He keeps chasing us. He keeps chipping away at the walls that you've built in your life. He keeps just knocking out these little distractions, and he knocks out these little life events, and he knocks out these pains, and he knocks out and he just keeps chipping away and chipping away. And chipping away. He could force. He could destroy. He doesn't. He just chooses to confront us again and again with the truth. And so Jonah went. And I want you to stop and think, like, okay, yes, sure, like Jonah goes. Of course he goes. But I want you to think, like, can you imagine, real quick, spoiler alert for next week, what happens to Jonah when he runs away? He ends up getting eaten by what? Big fish. 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 We're not going to specify the type. It's a sea creature of some sort. Okay? If you say whale and you get yelled at, it won't be by me, but somebody will yell at you. Okay? Cool. Great. Jonah gets eaten by... Miss Heather might yell at you for saying whale. What? That's fair. I mean, I would hope somebody does. I'm just not going to. But anyway, Jonah gets eaten by a big fish. We'll talk about that next week. Gets spit out. Actually, we'll talk about that the next 2 weeks. But anyway... Jonah gets eaten by a fish and then eventually spit out, and that's when God calls him again. So I want you to imagine you are Jonah. You have been spit out of the fish onto the shore, and God's like, okay, I want you to go to Nineveh. I want you to imagine Jonah diving back into the water. That's pretty stupid, right? That'd be a really idiotic thing to do. We would never do that, except that we do. Over and over and over and over. Our bad choices lead to pain. God rescues us from the pain. And then God says, okay, do this hard thing. And we say, nope. And we dive back into the pain. You want to know why I know that? Because I do that. You want to know why I know that? Because that's 90% of my job is you people going, hey, I know we just talked about this like 2 months ago, but I kind of messed up again. I'm like, yeah, welcome to the club. We all do that. Let's get better. So let's not look at Jonah and go, man, what an idiot. This is what we do. We make decisions and we're like, I'm going to follow the Lord. And then we go right back into the water the next day at school. Like, we do this. So don't judge Jonah unless you're looking in the mirror and seeing Jonah, right? We've gone back to the same thing that we know is bad for us because it's comfortable, because it's familiar, because it's easy, because we don't really believe God. We don't believe that God will or that God can do what he said he'll do. It's one of those. And you can say, no, I don't doubt God. Your life says otherwise. Your life says otherwise. Because you either believe him and act accordingly, or you don't believe him and act accordingly. Like, it's one of the two. There's not really a middle ground. So Jonah doesn't get a lot right. But this time when he gets called, he listens and he obeys. And that's the difference that makes life change. Did Jonah hear God in chapter 1? Yes. Did Jonah hear God in chapter 3? Yes. Did Jonah obey God in chapter 1? Did Jonah obey God in chapter 3? Life change happens when we obey. It's one thing to hear it and know, man, like, whew, the Lord called me, wrecked me, convicted me, and I know the Lord has done this thing. That's great, but that is step one. Step two is an action step where you actually do something in light of what God has said or done or changed or convicted or encouraged. So Jonah hears both times. He only really listens once. He only obeys the second time. But here's the thing. God's plan and God's purpose, has it changed from chapter 1 to chapter 3? No. What is God's plan? For Jonah to go where? To Nineveh. What is God's purpose? To save Nineveh. Jonah's disobedience doesn't mess up God's plan. And so if you are living in your life going, I've messed up too much, I've gone too far the wrong direction, I can't fix this, God can never use me, I want to tell you, you're wrong. I'm going to say that in love, but I'm also going to say it as stern as I can. You're not important enough to mess up God's plan. God's plan is bigger than us. So quit thinking that you have done something that has changed God, okay? So God's plan and purpose never, ever changes. And so tonight, I mean, it's pretty simple. Like, you pretty much can guess the invitation here. We're all created by God. And I want to, if you hear nothing else tonight, like, I hope you've heard a lot of things, but if you hear nothing else, I just want to, like, remind you, you're not here by chance or by accident. I don't mean in this room tonight. I mean, yes, you're in this room because that's how God wanted it tonight. But I mean, like, on this planet. So if you're one of the ones that struggles with, like, I don't have a purpose in life and life is meaningless and, like, all this is just dumb and I feel empty and I feel like there's a void in my life, can I just tell you, like, you're not an accident. You're not a Bob Ross tree. God wasn't making the world and went, there's a mistake. That's a happy little tree. Like, no. Like, you're not a happy little tree. You are specifically designed by God for his purposes. You're not an accident. You're not a mistake. And we are all called by God. And so the question, the invitation is, what is God calling you to do? Is he calling you to lay something down? Is he calling you to go somewhere or go to someone? Is he calling you to stop running from his grace and be saved? Some of you are Jonah, and you know the Lord. You just don't want to do what he's calling you to do. But some of you are Nineveh. Some of you are the people that are just stuck in your sin and in your selfishness and in your pride, and you're just lost, and you have no hope. And God is just constantly telling you, like I am hope, and I am grace, and I am love, and I am mercy. Like, you're being confronted with the gospel. If you leave here and say, I've never heard the gospel, you're a liar, because if there's one thing I do too much, it's that I just bring everything back to the gospel. Jesus loves you enough that he died for you, conquered death for you, created you, saved you, has a purpose for you. And so if you're just living in your sin and in your lostness because you're scared, because you don't want to give things up, because of whatever your excuse, your reason is, if God's calling you to lay that down and just know him tonight and be saved by him tonight, do it. Because while God's plan doesn't change, time is not infinite. Whatever God is calling you to do, or wherever he's calling you to go, or however he's calling you to change, do it. 2 Peter 3, verse 9. The Lord is not slow to fulfill his promise, as some count slowness, but is patient toward you, not wishing that any should perish, but that all should reach repentance. And then the most taken out of context verse of all time, Jeremiah 29:11, for I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans for welfare, not for evil, to give you a future and a hope. We use this as like a graduation verse. That's not what this should be. This is very much in Jeremiah 29, God handed out a whole lot of bad news. But he ends the bad news with, but I have plans for you. So you may be confronted with bad news right now. People you got to cut out of your lives, things you got to give up, places you got to go, dreams you've got to change. That's bad news. I'm not going to pretend it's not. But I want to encourage you that God has plans for you that are so far superior to the plans that you're giving up. He has people and promises and plans for you that are nothing anywhere close to what you think you're giving up. God's plan is so far superior. So my question tonight is, are you running from God or are you walking with God? It's that simple. Are you Jonah 1 or are you Jonah 3? Are you avoiding or are you just accepting and saying, all right, God, whatever you say, let's go. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for your word. Thank you for your love. And thank you for your mercy. God, I thank you for people like Jonah who give me hope. I thank you for people like Jonah who you should have destroyed him. You should have let him drown in fear and suffering, God. You should have. It would have been fair. You should have wiped the city of Nineveh from creation. It would have been fair. And nobody could have looked at you and said that you're mean or that you're unfair. But God, you are loving and full of grace and full of mercy. And so, God, I beg that tonight, if there's anybody here wrestling with anything, God, if it's a call to salvation, if it's a call to give something up, if it's a call to go and serve you, if it's a call to whatever, Lord, I pray that tonight would be a night that we hear that call and listen to that call and finally obey that call. That tonight will be a night that we experience the grace and mercy of your forgiveness, whether for the first time or if it's just in our disobedience as your people. God, we thank you for an encouraging word, an encouraging text. And so, Lord, I pray that tonight, if there's anybody here who needs to give their life to you, they would not leave this room, that they would not be able to sleep tonight without giving their life to you. Lord, if there's anybody in this room tonight that knows you and loves you and has been serving you, but God has something that they're just death grip holding on to, that they're just running from you because they don't want to face it or deal with it, God, I pray that tonight you'd break us. You'd remind us that your way is better. Help us to walk with you instead of running from you. Pray these things in your holy, holy name. Amen.